Well, we're glad that you're here this morning. At this time, I'd like Ray Martin to come up. And I don't know, I just think he has an anointed prayer. And I want you just to pray and open this service up for God to move. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that this word today that we've been taught by Pastor Doug, Father God, will touch our hearts, Lord, that we may go forth, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this message this morning. People will be healed in their chairs, Lord, and people will be set free.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ray. I talked to him and I said I might not have him pray at the end, but then I just felt that he needed to pray now. So thank you. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're going to begin here. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 46 through 49. And the Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, to whom is he like? He is like a man which built a house and digged deep." I want you to, if you can, underline that phrase, pay attention to that phrase, digged deep. All right? "And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And so this morning we are continuing about experiencing a deeper life. Amen. We're talking about ways that we can go deeper in God. You know, everybody can have a deeper, more richer, and fulfilling life in the Lord. God is deep, and his riches, his treasures, his best gifts are not just laying around, but they're for those who go deep in him, to go deeper in God. And we know that the Holy Spirit, he searches the deep things of God. And what he does with his research is he shows you the deep things of God. Amen? We have inside information into the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit. And he wants to take us deeper. He wants to take us further. And you know, just like in the earth, most of the best minerals have to be dug out, right? Oil has to be drilled. Gold has to be mined. Silver has to be mined. And that involves digging and drilling and going deeper. And even exploration. You know, when you explore things, you're going deeper. You're going beyond the normal mark. And last week we talked about how to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. And I gave you these points. I'm going to give you these again, and then we're going to go on from there. Number one, if you want to become more intimate and deeper with God, you have to be a person who pursues God. Amen? You have to have God in your sights, and you have to go after God like a deer pants for the water. Amen? How many know that God satisfies thirsty souls? You know, every one of us are longing for something. And many of us tried to satisfy us with the wrong things. And we found out that that didn't work. But When you come to the Lord, you find that He truly satisfies. No one can do what He can do in your life. So you got to be a person that pursues God. You have to go after God. Amen? You have to move from here to there. You have to go where God is working and moving and manifesting Himself. You have to seek God. The Bible says when you seek Him, what? You'll find Him. All right? But you got to do the seeking. And when you seek, you will find. Then you have to draw near. Amen? Because God is in, He wants a close relationship. God is not a distant relative. Amen? That you very seldom talk with or interact with. You should interact with God every day. Amen? God wants to be, God should be the closest person. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay? And then you need to come to Him. Oftentimes, Jesus would invite people, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. If you're heavy burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. There has to be a time when you have to come to God. Amen? Because He's already come to us. He's already come out of heaven and we have to come to Him. And then there was a couple ones that I didn't get to share, and I just want to touch on them before we move forward. And we did talk about sharing everything, all right? And, you know, there were some disciples that got to share things that the other disciples didn't. And they were Peter, James, and John. Now, the one I didn't mention was the more intimate you become in your relationship with God, the more transparent you will be. The more open you will be. Do you realize when they hung Jesus on the cross, nothing was hidden? He was exposed to the world. Why? Because He was here to take away the sin of the world. Do you realize that He became sin on the cross? He became sin. He took our sin so that we could be set free. And in this level of intimacy, being transparent, transparency makes your motives clear and your life clean. When you're transparent, what does transparent mean? It means you have the ability to see through. There's nothing hidden. When something is transparent, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read with verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are epistles. What's an epistle? It's not the wife of the apostles. An epistle is a letter that was written to churches. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, someone who is a living epistle, their motives are clear and their life is clean. There's no hidden agenda. There's no manipulation. Do you realize the enemy uses manipulation, intimidation, and fear? But God does not manipulate people. The Holy Spirit does not manipulate people. Matter of fact, He gives you a choice. He makes you an offer, and He leaves the choice up to you. And you can choose what you want to do. You can choose what course of action you want to take. And God will let you make your choice. Now, sometimes we make the wrong choice, and then we blame God for our choice. Amen? But to be transparent, Paul told Timothy, a young preacher, in 1 Timothy 3:7, he said, to have a good reputation, a good character outside of the church. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is better than riches. Amen? How do you establish a good name? You do what you say. You're honest in how you live. You're not trying to hide things. You're not trying to cover up. Did you realize that if you try to cover up your sin will find you out? How many know? I've tried to cover up sin, but guess what? Eventually the cover's taken away. God will expose it. Amen? And the reason God exposes it is because he wants to help you. He wants to be close to you, and if we have sin in our life, we're going to be separated from God. But this is an important step in developing a closer, intimate walk with the Lord. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 12. Paul told Timothy this. He said, "Let no man despise your youth." Young people, don't let people despise you. But he said, notice, but be an example. If you don't want people to despise you, then be an example in these five areas. In word, in your speech, in how you live, in your conversation, in your love or your charity, in spirit or in your zeal or your passion, in your faith and in your purity. Amen? You know, there's power in purity. I want to encourage, especially our young people, keep yourselves pure. Amen? God's given you a vessel, and your vessel is holy, and you got to keep it pure. Amen? What does that mean? Don't compromise for evil. All right? Stay on the right path. And then the last thing that I wanted to touch on from is the closer you get with God, the more passionate of a person you become. Amen? You need to let your passion become your obsession. What you're passionate about, you will pursue. What you're passionate about, you will invest in. What you're passionate about, you will put your time towards. I mean, we need to be a people of passion. Amen. We need to have fire on the inside. Yes. When we're passionate, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. Psalm 1:2 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord." That means you just fall in love with Jesus. You are so passionate about your relationship and your walk with God and doing his will. And you just love Jesus. Amen. We got to have some passion in the church. Amen? Your passion will move you to action. What you're passionate about. So let's be passionate about the Lord. Let's delight ourselves in the Lord. And Psalm 43:5 says, "Let God be your exceeding joy." Is there joy in the Lord? The joy of the Lord is what? It's your strength. Notice, joy is your strength. What happens when your joy gets taken away? Then you become weak. And, you know, by the way, this is information from the book that I wrote called Depth. Some of this is right out of there because God showed this to me. Now, we're going to move on today. Amen? We're going to move on. And today I want to talk about deepening your character. God is interested in your character. If you want to know a truly spiritual person, a truly spiritual person is not one who prophesies or operates in the gifts of faith or working of miracles, but a truly spiritual person is one that has character, that has integrity, that has honor. Amen? God promotes character. He has fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is all about our character. It's all about how we interact with people, how we live, and what we do. And say, character is important to God. What is character? It is the pattern of behavior or personality found in an individual or a group. And I'm still getting some ringing here. I don't know if you can adjust that a little bit less. It is moral strength, self-discipline, and internal fortitude. It's someone that has guts to stand up for what's right. I mean, it takes guts to take a stand, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of pressure in this world today to try to get people to compromise. The devil has been unleashing his agenda slowly and surely to get people accustomed to what is not right. And in this world today, people are calling what's wrong right. And we as Christians, we shouldn't let the world define what is right. We should let God define what is right. And we should not compromise what the Bible teaches or what the Bible says. But when you deepening your character is going to cause you to have a greater and a more fulfilling relationship with God. The stronger your character, the deeper God can take you. The more God can do for the realize when you're a person of character, God trusts you. How many want God to trust you? Amen. He'll trust you with his secrets. He'll trust you with his riches. He'll trust you to influence people on this earth for his kingdom. How many know that God trusts? We have to have God's trust. You know, we need to trust God, but he needs to trust us. Character is your reputation. It is who you are when no one else is around. It is who you are when you're by yourself. Character is a consistent, perseverant display of behavior where you're always doing the same thing. In other words, you're the same person here as the same person here. Just because the situation changes, it doesn't change you as a person. Amen? Character is what is in your heart. Your behavior and your words come from what is in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So character is really an issue of the heart. And how many know God knows the heart? God knows your motives. He knows whether your heart is right or not. It is the condition and direction of your heart in relation to Christ. Our example of true character is Jesus Christ. And we have been enabled to achieve Christ-likeness. You can live like Christ, you can talk like Christ, you can walk like Christ on this earth because he has given us the ability to do that. And when you add the Holy Spirit and God's nature, really our lives can reflect his. We can get to a point where we're so deep in God, when we're walking so close to God, we can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You talk about character. You talk about representing the kingdom of God. Now, character is not weak. Character is strong. No one could take Jesus' life. He had to lay it down. Amen? Your heart is either in agreement with Christ and moving toward him, or it disagrees with Christ and separates from him. You're either on two paths. You're either coming closer to God or you're separating from God and becoming further away from him. Which direction are you going? Ask yourself. Do a heart checkup. Have you been to the spiritual heart doctor? What's the spiritual heart? God's word is a mirror. Amen? And when you look into God's word, it casts a reflection of how you really are. And whether or not you line up in this world, it's not based on what this person does or what this person does. It's based on what God's word says. So, in other words, people are not your standard of living. You don't live your life based on what people do or what people say. You live your life as a Christian based on what God says and what his word says and what the Holy Spirit shows you. Amen? And we're supposed to walk in the light that we have. Now, there was a man in the Bible. His name was Daniel. And I'm going to share some things just about Daniel, just some facts that we have in the Bible about Daniel. Daniel was a man of impeccable character. Daniel wouldn't compromise. His name means, God is my judge. If we lived our life as if God was our judge, how would we live? How would our life be different? Amen? How would our actions be different? If we know that God is judging us, which he's the only one qualified to judge. But Daniel's name means God is my judge. All right? He was a teenager when he was taken from Jerusalem into captivity. And all the teenagers said, amen. God was, he was a teenager and he did great things. Teens, you can do great things for God. But your character development starts now. You're not going to develop your character when you're older. It starts now. And he was a teenager when he went into captivity. He was 80s when he received the vision of his prophecy. And he served several heathen kings, all through Babylon and Cyrus, king of Persia. Okay? Daniel had extraordinary capabilities and impeccable character. Because when he was offered the king's meat, he knew that he wasn't going to defile himself. He had already set up a standard of living for how he was going to live his life. And he said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to eat the king's dainties. And they said, well, Daniel, if you don't, you know, his handler was kind of worried that if he wasn't going to eat what the king put, how was he going to look? But you know what? He just ate what the Lord led him to eat for 21 days, and at the end of those 21 days, he excelled. He had 10 times the wisdom than everybody else who was being trained in the school of the Babylonian leadership. That's for a lack of a better word. Okay? Daniel served in government. Can you imagine a person in government with character? It's possible to work in government and to have character. Daniel tells us so. We need some more Daniels. He was a person of deep piety. He had deep religious conviction. He prayed several times a day. And if Daniel would have been living today and he would have found out that they take prayer out of schools, Daniel would have been holding a prayer meeting in schools. How do I know that? Because as a government official, when he heard the word and said, you can't pray to anyone else for 30 days except for the king, Daniel went home, opened his windows. He wasn't afraid to pray. He wasn't afraid to pray to God. And Daniel prayed. He did not let the world dictate his standards. Why? He had impeccable character. God can use people of strong character. The stronger your character, the more further you'll go in God. The greater things that you can do with that God can do through you. Amen? Where God can take you, your character will sustain you. And I want you to go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. We're going to take a look there. Daniel, chapter 2. And let's look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. The king had a dream, and the king wanted an interpretation. So the wise men said, well, you tell us the dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. And the king said, I'm not telling you my dream. You give me the interpretation. Okay? An impossible task. Not for God. Okay? There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Yep, there may not be a man on earth, but there's a man in heaven that can show the dream. There's a man in heaven that knows the hearts of kings, and he holds the secrets of the universe. Now notice, for this cause, the king, verse 12, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was in this group. He was considered a wise man of Babylon. Okay? Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. How many knows that when danger is happening, it's an opportunity for the Christians to rise up? Amen? And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Notice he answered with counsel and wisdom. Who do you think was his counselor? The Holy Spirit, right? God's given us another counselor, a helper, an advocate. He sought counsel from God. He had the spirit of wisdom operating in him. Why? Because he was a man of character. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. See, sometimes you just got to ask the right questions. And the devil will try to hurry up when he's trying to kill people. But sometimes you just got to stop him in his tracks, amen? And then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. He went before the king and he said, King, if you just give me a little bit of time, I will show you the interpretation. Oh, that's just arrogant. That's just bold. No, that's someone who knows their God. See, when you know your God, you can speak like Daniel speaks. When you're a man of character, people will listen when you speak. Look at what Daniel did in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. This was a prayer meeting that saved their life. How many know that sometimes if you just stop, drop, and pray? Sometimes the things of life can be going around and you're so frantic, you just need to stop, drop, and pray to get your perspective right. Okay? Verse 19. Look at how good God. See, God just needed someone to pray. God had the secret. God had the answer. But he needed someone to pray. And so, Daniel was a person of character, and he knew the importance of prayer. This was not the first time Daniel prayed. Daniel had a prayer lifestyle. It was his habit to pray. Amen? See, when you get in the habit of prayer, it's easier to pray when things happen. Because you're in that habit. It's something that you do regularly. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You got to bless who gives you the answer. Amen? You got to know where your source is. You got to know who's responsible. All good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no turning, there's no variance. Our God is a good God. So Daniel, after the prayer meeting, they had a praise meeting. Then Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Hallelujah. See, when you're a person of character, you'll know where your strength comes from. When you're a person of character, you're not going to rely on yourself. You're going to rely on God, the rock. Now, this comes from digging deep. I guarantee you that Daniel didn't build his house on the sand. He didn't build his house on the earth, but he took time to dig deep, and he built a solid relationship with the Lord. You know, it takes time to build a relationship with God. A relationship with God does not come through a drive-through. You have to invest some time with God into a relationship with Him. All right, let's read on. He's praising God and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge unto them that have understanding. Notice verse 22. He reveals the what? The deep secrets. How many want God to reveal some deep secrets? Well, it's going to require you to go deeper. You're not going to get deep secrets in ankle-deep water. You're not going to get deep secrets in water up to your knees. This is from Ezekiel 47. You're not going to get deep secrets when you're just wading in the water. You're going to get deep secrets when you have to swim. Because that means God gets the glory and you don't. Amen? So, verse 22, he reveals the deep secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we decreed of you. For you have made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were the only ones that knew what God wanted to do. They tapped in to the power of heaven. And even though the king wouldn't reveal the dream, God knew what was in the king's heart. And because Daniel was a man of character, he had distinguished wisdom. See, character is really a reflection of God's nature. It's God's nature being reflected in your life. Character is who you are. It comes out of your relationship with Christ. And character is godliness. And it draws people to God. You want to follow someone you can trust, right? A person of character, that doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that they don't miss the mark. But a person of character, when they make a mistake, when they miss the mark, they will do what's necessary to make it right. Amen? A person of character admits they're wrong when they're wrong. And they don't boast when they're right. Daniel didn't go into the king and say, I've got the answer, I've got the answer. He didn't do that. Because a person of character resists pride. Daniel's focus was on God. Daniel's focus was on honor. Okay? Character will lead you to prosperity and success. You read the life of Daniel. How many times was he promoted? And that with every promotion came more responsibility, came more money. When God trusts you, He'll supply your every need. And He'll take care of your wants and your needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means He'll take care of your wants. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You can ask whatever you need and He'll give it to you. He'll meet your needs, your wants, and your desires. But you have to delight yourself in Him. You have to lose yourself in God. You have to be willing to go deeper, beyond the surface. You've got to dig for God's gold. There's gold. There's treasures in God. Amen. And He's given you a license to mine. You can mine the riches of God, and you can discover great things, but you've got to do the mining. You've got to do the digging. You've got to do the drilling. Amen? Character comes from strength and courage. If you read in Joshua chapter 1, how many times did he say, be strong and courageous? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Go in and possess the land. Strength, character comes from strength and courage. It takes courage to be a person of character. Because to be a person of character, you're going to have to say no to some popular things. You're going to have to resist some things. You can't necessarily do what everybody else is doing. You know, salmon are fish with character. The last act of a salmon's life is to swim upstream from the ocean 500 miles to the place where they were born. And on the way, they face grizzly bears and other animals and other predators and other dangers, but they're swimming against the current. See, it's easy to swim with the current because it's a lot harder to swim up the current. That's what a person of character does. They swim up current. So if you're going a different direction than everybody else is going, it's okay. Character comes from speaking the word of God, meditating in it, observing it, and doing it. Isn't that what he told Joshua? Let this book of the law depart not out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and what? That you may observe to do according to all that is written. Then what? Then you'll have success. You will prosper. Then you will have good success. But you've got to do the meditating. See, the meditating and the speaking and the studying is the drilling and the digging that unlocks the riches. It takes you deeper with God. Boy, I remember the day when I became a Bible junkie. I started off with Matthew. Then I read Mark and Luke and John. And then I couldn't stop. I went on to Romans and Acts and Corinthians. And guess what? I'm still digging into this word. I'm still reading this word. Why? Because I fell in love with this word a long time ago. It would help your life to fall in love with the word. Because when you fall in love with the word, you fall in love with Jesus. In Joshua chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but God had removed the reproach of Israel that was on them from Egypt. See, sometimes when God takes you out of a place and he's wanting to bring you into something different, when he brings you out, there are things on you that still come from that place. Maybe it's an aroma. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a mindset. And when Joshua had taken the people from the wilderness into the promised land, there were people that were born. And they had to be circumcised. And see, circumcision is really a representation of our relationship with Christ. It's removing the flesh so the Spirit can have his way. And it was in Joshua chapter 5 that they met before Gilgal, and it was where God removed the reproach of Israel. See, character is living above reproach, is living so good and so well that when people try to criticize you, it doesn't stick because your character is so strong. Amen? And yes, the enemy will try to accuse you. How many times did they accuse Jesus? They said he was a wine bibber. They said Jesus cast out devils by the prince of devils. They were criticized of Jesus, and he had impeccable character. Let me tell you something. Don't spend more time with a critic than you would a friend. You don't live your life according to, you should listen to criticism. You should consider who it's coming from. You should consider what they're saying. You should analyze whether or not, is there any truth to what they're saying? And if there is, you can make adjustments. A true person of character will take criticism, and if there's any truth in it, they'll make adjustments. But they don't just go based on what the critic says. Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, there was a story of a priest that didn't have any character. His name was Eli. He allowed his sons to do wickedly in the temple. And he knew about it. He would tell them, but he didn't do anything about it. And he lost his family line. If you lack character, a lack of character will lead to self-destruction. So character is important. Without character, Satan can come in and steal, kill, and destroy from you. A true person of character resists Satan steadfast in the faith. A true person of character will rise up and they will confront evil. Amen? They will fight for what's right. A character is reflected in your work. Are you doing what you're called to do? Think about this for a minute now. There's a lot of things that we could do in life. Sometimes your education prepares you in a certain way. But you can't rely solely on your education. Your education is simply training for what you're called to do. Amen? Ask yourself this question. Am I doing what God called me to do? Am I where God wants me to be? Am I on the path that God has for me? And you need to ask the Lord. Amen? Because after all, he's the Lord. He's the one who made the path. He's the one who made you. He knows which path you fit on. Amen? He knows which place you need to be where you can grow. It's your work. It's how you... Go with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. See, when you develop your character, it's going to help you go deeper with God. Having a strong character is a life that's built on a rock. Yes, storms are going to come. Whether you build your house, whether you have good character or bad character, storms come. But it'll wipe out the ones with bad character, but the good character, they'll live to tell about it. And it'll become a testimony. And they'll say, look what the Lord has done. Yes, I went through this. In life, you're going to go through things. You're going to face challenges. Things aren't always going to go as you think they should, but that's just going to show your character. How you respond in a challenge, how you respond in trouble, how you respond when things don't go your way is a true test of your character. It really shows what you're made of. You could be made of sugar and spice and everything nice. Mark 7. Verse 6, he's talking to a group of Pharisees. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Only the Lord knows where your heart is. I don't know where your heart is. No other person knows where your heart is. Only the Lord knows where your heart is. He knows where it's if it's in the right place or not. But notice, they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, verse 7, in vain do they worship me. He's talking to a group of people that publicly worship God, but their hearts weren't even with him. They were just going through the motions, going through the duties, but without their heart being in it. That's why he called them hypocrites. A hypocrite is a play actor. They're playing a part. They're not really the part they're playing, but they're playing a part. Then he goes on to say, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Here, they're putting the emphasis on what people say more than what God says. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of man. Can you imagine people who put more emphasis on the traditions of man than the commandment of God? God says this, but we did it this way. Well, if the way that you're doing it doesn't line up with what God says, who has to change? Does God have to change? No. God doesn't change, but we have to change. If how you're living your life isn't producing the results that you want, you got to change your belief system. Amen? Things have to change. You have to change your mindset. You have to change what you're doing. You have to make some adjustments. A person of character will make these adjustments. Verse 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Character is honoring God with your heart and your lips. It's where your mouth and your heart are in agreement. That's what true character is. These people obviously did not have character because they were play acting. Okay? 1 Timothy 1:5. You can just write that down. Character comes from a pure heart and sincere faith. Paul recognized that Timothy had a pure heart and sincere, unfeigned faith, childlike faith. We just have to come to God like a child. Amen? God is waiting for us to come to Him that way sometimes. You know, just come to Him, just take Him at His word. Just receive His love. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I can sense that God, you're in God's carpenter shop today. And He's building a character bench in your life. The hammer is going, the nails are going, the saw is going, and the sandpaper is going. Amen? Sometimes God's got to rough, He's got to rub the rough edges off of us. Sometimes we have rough edges, don't we? Sometimes we actually get cranky. We have bad days. We let our attitude decline. We've all been there. Amen? But the question is, are you going to stay in that state or are you going to change? A true person of character will change. How did Jacob go from being a trickster and a supplanter to a prince of God? He was sent away to find a wife. Laban was his mother's brother. And he offered to work for Rachel. I'll work 7 years. He thought she was so beautiful and so wonderful that he was willing to work 7 years for her. Come to find out, all the tricking that he'd been sowing, he was about to reap. On the night of their honeymoon, the next morning he wakes up and he looks over and much to his surprise, he doesn't see Rachel, he sees Leah. I didn't agree to this. The Bible said Leah had weak eyes. I don't know what that means. But she obviously didn't capture his heart like Rachel did. So he volunteered to work another 7 years. And now he had two wives. And during that time, his wages from Laban were changed 10 times. And he didn't quit. He didn't leave. Because God was leading him on the path. God was trying to take the trickster out of his heart. He was trying to change his heart from a tricking heart to a trusting heart. And then finally, Jacob had an encounter with God. And he began to wrestle with God. I believe part of his problem was he was wrestling with his flesh nature. Here he was, face to face with God. And when you are face to face with God, His word is a mirror. Jacob saw that reflection. And he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He got a hold of God. And God said, let me go. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Finally, Jacob had a breakthrough. One encounter with God. He went from being a trickster. Now his name was called Israel, Prince of God. But he had to go through a journey. God had to make him. God had to change his character. God had to change his nature. God had to change the way Jacob did things in the past. In the past, he would trick people. He would lie to people. He would deceive people. But you can't do that when you walk with God. When you walk with God, you got to carry yourself like a prince. A prince is honorable. A prince should be trustworthy. Because a prince has authority invested in them. God's got authority invested in you. You are priests and kings of God. Say, I'm a priest and a king of God. Live like that. And Jacob gave birth to what we now know as the 12 tribes of Israel, fulfilling what God spoke to Abraham, his great-grandfather. See, God wanted to work in that family, but he had to change the character of the individual so that God's plan could work. Sometimes God has to change us. Amen? Say, I'm willing to change. Amen. I'm going to give you a few more of these and we're going to close, okay? 1 Timothy 1:19, let's read this. Holding faith and a what? Good conscience, which some, having put away concerning their faith, made shipwreck. There are some people that don't hold to a good conscience. They go against their conscience and they do wrong. Your conscience is a voice of reason and right. Your conscience really is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's God trying to talk to you. How do you know something is wrong that your conscience is telling you it's wrong? Don't do this, don't do this, don't say it, don't do this, don't go there. But when we don't listen to our conscience, we do it, and guess what? We reap the consequence. Now, we may not like the consequence, but you should listen to your conscience. Anyway, here's what the Amplified says. Holding fast to faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God. A person of character leans their entire human personality on God. In absolute trust and confidence. Having a good, clear conscience, by rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. You don't want to have your faith in a shipwreck. People's faith are shipwrecked when they're not living quality character lives. Do you realize that every one of us are a character witness for God? Where you are, people are watching. People are listening. Whether you realize it or not, people are watching. And if they hear that you're a Christian, they're watching you even closely, even more closer. You are a character witness for God. Your character will either testify to God's goodness, or it will cause people to reject God. Think about that. I'll just let that soak in for a little bit. According to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, character is abiding in God's standard, not man's standard. You read the qualities that a minister should abide by. It all has to do with character. 1 Timothy 4:8, character is godliness. That reflects the nature of God. Train to be godly. Godliness is profitable. Say that. Say, godliness is profitable. What does that mean? Living for God, serving God is profitable. Who's going to? God will profit you. He'll teach you how to profit. Character development is a worthy pursuit. It's a good thing to develop your character. Poor character discredits us in the eyes of the people that we're called to influence for God's purposes. Poor character defiles us and can harm others. Poor character flows from a negative heart issue. So if you want to go deeper with God, if you want to experience a deeper life, you're going to have to be a person of character. Years ago, I had a funny experience. Well, looking back at it, it's funny, but I had met with a group of guys, and they said, Pastor Doug, you need some men around you like David had. David's mighty men, you know. They came to David, and they were in debt and distressed, but when they left David, at the end of their life, they were blessed, because you look at how much money that they got over the years. They got rid of their debt and their depression, and they had profit and joy. And so this guy was saying, yeah, Pastor Doug, you need some mighty men around you like David. And I'm saying, amen, yes. Do you think that that person is here today? No. They said it. It was good. It was good what they said, but there wasn't any follow through with what they said. So what does that tell me? Amen? And you know what? Like I said, being a person of character doesn't mean you make mistakes. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. But it's how you respond when mistakes are made. It's what you do to change it. You know what? The only way to correct a wrong is to do right. Amen? And if we've said something and we didn't follow through, we need to repent, we need to receive forgiveness, and we need to go on. Amen? You know, and that's really how you keep your heart clean before God, is you're quick to repent and quick to forgive. Amen? Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we need to forgive others. But we can be people of character. And the stronger your character, the more God can do through you. Daniel was a person of character. Look at his life. His character withstood the pressure of the world. When all of his peers came against him, and he was even in the lion's den, he still had good character, because in the lion's den, he was trusting God. Some of you might be in the lion's den today, but don't stop trusting God. Just because your circumstance changes, your trust shouldn't change. But hold on to God. When you don't understand something, ask Him. If you don't understand something, say, excuse me, I don't understand. Don't act like you understand when you don't. Because when you try to execute it, you'll be like, how does this work? You should have gotten the understanding first. I don't have all the answers. And we are all striving for the mastery. Our journeys are not ended yet. All of us are still on a journey toward God. But if you want to go deeper with God, you're going to have to become intimate with Him, and you're going to have to become a person of character. You're going to have to strengthen your character. You can do that. You can call, when you speak a word, God will, like Samuel, the Bible said, not a word from his mouth fell to the ground. In other words, there was power behind his words. Character gives you the power behind your words. And when you say something, be willing to carry it out. The Bible says when you make a vow, carry it out even to your own hurt, doesn't it? Why? Because God wants you to have a good name. It's better than riches. So Heavenly Father, today, we come to you, Lord, and we want to go deeper with God. We draw near to you. We come closer to you, Father. We want to be people of character and integrity and honor, like Daniel was. So, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. On hearing a message about character, maybe you realize that the direction you're going or some of the things that you're doing need to change. Amen? And I want you to make a commitment to God to repent of those things right now. If you know, I'm not asking you to come up, but I'm just going to ask you to stand up, and between you and God, I'm not going to ask you to verbalize it, it's going to be between you and God, but your act of faith is to stand up. to say, God, I'm willing to make the changes that I need to make, and this is my first step. Amen? And when you take one step, what's going to happen? God's going to meet you. All it requires is one act of faith on your part, one act of faith to come closer to God and make things right and to tighten. You know what? You got to tighten the reins of your life sometimes. Sometimes your life is like wild horses that are running out of control, and you got to have someone jump on the horses and pull the reins back. Because if you don't pull the reins back, you're headed for destruction. I'm telling you to pull the reins back today by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. There's some people that we got to pull the reins back in our life. Some things are getting out of control, and we got to pull the reins back. Amen? And we got to strengthen our character. And you'll be like Daniel. You'll be like Mordecai. I couldn't even get to Mordecai today, but he refused to bow to Haman. And he ended up getting Haman's stuff because he was a person of character and integrity. Character is strong. So in the name of Jesus, when I say three, some of you are already standing. The things in your life, what you're doing is you're standing up and you're saying in your heart, God, I'm going to change these things. I'm going to pull back the reins. I'm going to make the adjustments that I need to make so that I can go deeper with you in Jesus' name. One, oh, Holy Spirit, draw us. Two, let the power of God fall right now in the name of Jesus. Three, let's make adjustments in our heart right now. Now, when you stand, God sees your heart. He knows if you're truly committed to this endeavor or not. Hallelujah. But I know that you are people of integrity. You are people of character. And we're willing to make adjustments. Amen? Say, Lord, teach me to do your will. Teach me to prosper. As I give you my life, I allow you full access. I allow you full control of my life. There's no area in my heart, in my life, in my mind, in my body that I'm going to hold on to in Jesus' name. I forgive those who hurt me. I release them of that debt. And I'm going to trust you, Father, to go into greater things and deeper things. I trust you, Father. In my finances, you are first. You are not second. You are not third, but you are first. I will be a good steward of the finances you give me. And as I follow you, my finances will increase. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, I refuse to be bitter. I refuse to be offended. I refuse to doubt. I refuse to stop believing. I trust God with all my heart in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You know, just like a car, little adjustments make a big difference. Those little adjustments that you make while driving keep you on the right side of the road and out of ditches. Amen? So be a people of character. Now next week, next Sunday, we're going to talk about what it means to be a friend of God. Because there were some people that the Bible talked about who were friends of God. And if you want to get closer to God, you got to be his friend. Amen? And we're going to learn about what it means to be a friend of God. So you don't want to miss next Sunday. This Wednesday, very important meeting. It's an opportunity. Those that are hungry will get fed. Those that are thirsty will be satisfied. And God bless you. Amen. Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. Hey, Brother Ray, you need to come up again. You need to close us out in prayer. Just let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for the sermon this morning. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, you taught us about character today, Father. We thank you for people of great character in the Bible. Daniel and Joseph, Father. Jesus Christ himself, Lord. And Jesus Christ himself lives in our heart, Lord. You help us be good characters, Father God, in our community, Father God, in our home, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to teach us to be a good character for the body of Christ. Father, we just thank you for this. Lord, I ask you to, we all have saved travels, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Everybody's invited to fellowship with us as we meet, greet, and eat. Amen. Have a blessed day.